Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk. Let's review Pasuk Yud Gimel one more time. Just want to mention one more chiddush, one more medrash. Pasuk Yud Gimel Halach Rechel Megala Soid, and Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Gimel. Someone who is a talebearer, he's a rochel, a peddler. He's Megala Soid. He has the nature to reveal secrets. The Ne'eman Ruach, but a person who's faithful, a faithful spirit. He is Machasidavar. The Medrash, we learned last week that this pasuk is interpreted by Chazal as a warning to a dayan not to tell the litigants that don't blame me, I did not vote against you, it was the other dayan. That is in the gather of Hoylech Rachel. You go around revealing a Megala Soid, that is not a good thing to do. You gonna fix the microphone? No. Okay, and now the Medrash interprets this pasuk in that reference contrasts Shlomo HaMelech. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused. It contrasts, I'm sorry, Yaakov with Bilam. Yaakov Avinu coming up in only a few weeks from now, Yaakov Avinu Parash Vayechi He Osfu. What happened? Why is Parsha Svaychi a Parsha Stuma? Why is there no space between the beginning of the Parsha and the beginning of Parsha Svaychi and the beginning of Parsha and the Parsha Svaygash and the beginning of Parsha Svaychi? Because Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, but Nistamu Enehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented him from revealing the Kate Simon. Why? Because exactly, according to the Medrash, exactly this pasuk, Hashem said to Yaakov, you should be a Neman Ruach Mechasedover. Not everything that is secret, not everything that's going to happen should be known to the masses. And that is why Yaakov fulfilled the second half of this pasuk by being a Neman Ruach Mechasedover. Who does Chazal contrast to Yaakov? Bilam Harasha. Bilam Harasha. Bilam revealed all the secrets. Erenu v'loy ata, Ashrenu v'loy karav. Derech koychav miYaakov v'kamshev v'yishol. Many of the prophecies of the things that we know that are going to happen at the end of days, the time of Mashiach, shockingly come from Bilam. It's like we have all of these Kabbalistic sermons that tell us what's going to be when Mashiach comes. And all these interesting, which the Rambam tells us that you should not dwell upon because we don't really know what's going to happen. But the little bits of information that we do know that have sparked within us a curiosity to know even more. Many of these things come from none other than Bilam Harasha. He merited to see the future, and he revealed these things, which according to this medrash was not a good thing. It's an amazing twist. It's an amazing twist on something that's so fundamental to our hashkafa.
Actually,
yeah.
He is the perfect aid for such
distance
because he's from outside. If anything,
would
be a hostile witness.
But it's not. Now again, they're conflicting Maimonides Chazal. There are not every Maimonides Chazal is in agreement with one another. But this is an amazing insight according to this medrash, which comes from the Agodas Bereshis. It's an amazing idea that we know what is going to happen at the time of Mashiach, all of the various ideas that we know, which a significant chunk of these ideas come from the words of Bilam, Parshas Balak. It would have been better for us not to know. It confused us. It clouded our vision, our perspective on life. Better not to know. And because Bilam revealed all of these secrets, he violated what it says here in Mishlei, in this very pasuk, Hoylech Rachil Megalesot. He was a bad person. He was a person called Hoylech Rachil. Because every single thing that he knew, Yaakov knew even better. And Yaakov had a greater clarity. Yaakov could have told it to us straight. without any kumkeit. And Yaakov chose the Neman Ruach Mechase Davar. He hid. He asu v'yagid lechem eis shayikub yachar sayam. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. I changed my mind. What? Hashem inspired. Well, that's subject to interpretation. And the Ayin HaChanav, I told you, in the Midrashim of conflict. This is a specific Medrash, in the Medrash, obscure Medrash called God Aspiratius. You familiar with that? Yes? God Aspiratius, which contrasts these two individuals, and it makes this point in telling us that it's not always so good to know secrets. Sometimes what you don't know is better.
You don't know doesn't hurt.
Or
do you
do?
Well, not negative, so that's no. Ignorance is bliss is a whole different.
Your motivations are different.
What you don't know, what you don't know doesn't hurt.
Where would our hopes be while in Golis if we didn't have something to hope for?
Well, we don't know what would have been the other way around. What would have been if we would not know anything about the future? Maybe that would have. You have to go back hundreds of thousands of years and think, what would our hashkafa have been? Maybe we would be more wholesome people. We would serve Hashem with a greater degree of tamimus, of emunah pshuta, and then Mashiach would have come a lot before. Now that we know too much, so everything is krum. Oh, we'll do an aveira because we can do tshuva, or Mashiach will come. Everything will come back to the right place. Maybe knowing too much is causing us to behave in a way that's not proper. I don't know, maybe yes, maybe not. I am Panim Torah. But it definitely is something very interesting. This Medrash, the way it describes Bilam as a Hoylech Ruach El Megala, so in contrast to Yaakov, who is a Neman Ruach Mechasedava. Why did Hashem allow Bechir Chavshis? Maybe because Klal Yisrael. He put the words in his mouth. Okay, but that's a good question. I don't know the answer. But
in contrast with Yaakov, Hashem.
Hashem told him originally, "Don't go." Hashem told Bilam.
No,
Hashem
told Yaakov. He told him.
Well, we don't know exactly. Well, the Medrash of here is that Yaakov, maybe according to this Medrash, Yaakov had Bechira. If Yaakov wanted, Yaakov maybe could have chose to reveal secrets. And he chose not to. And that's not the way we're used to hearing things, because we're used to hearing that because the Shbaruch Hu prevented him. But that's not really what it says here. It says over here that if Yaakov, you want, you can do so. But I'm telling you, it's not a good idea. It's not in your best interest for your children. They should know too much information. It's not the mainstream interpretation. You have to always keep in mind that Maamari Chazal disagree with one another. It's not one size fits all. You don't always have to struggle to reconcile every Maamari Chazal with another. There are different approaches, different dimensions, and on a simple level, you know, sometimes on a deeper level, they don't necessarily disagree. But on a simple level, to bring out the point, it's good sometimes to hear two perspectives of something, and that opens up your mind to something a little bit different.
But I was saying, we're labeling Bilam as a Rachel.
Yeah.
Means it was something he shouldn't have revealed.
That's right.
Why did Hashem allow him to reveal?
Well, that's the whole world is like that. Everything in this world is Bechira Chavshis. Hashem told Adam, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. So why did he eat from the Eitz Hadas? Hashem gives the person an opportunity to do what he wants. That's all part of the way the world works, the rules of the world. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dalet Be'ein Tachbulos Yipol Am U'Seshua B'Roiv Yoetz. Without plans, a tachbulos. What's a good word for tachbulos? Without any, without strategies. If one does not have a strategy, yipolam, a whole nation can come apart. You could have the best military. You could have the best, the greatest chachamim and wealth. If you don't have a good plan, even a small, weak enemy can overcome, can overtake a major nation. A nation must have a tachbulos. They must have a strategy, must have a derech, a plan, an approach to life. And if they don't have it, yipolam, an entire nation can come crashing up down. U'seshua, salvation. If there is a need for salvation, even for on a small level, a big level, it comes, berov yoetz, it comes with great counsel. If all of the greatest minds come together, and of course you need siyat deshmaya, then with counsel there will be planning and strategizing, there will be salvation. Now let's take a look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Yidale, Be'ein kasher lo yachshu tachpulos b'dvar ha-mulchama. If there are no strategies in war, Oz yipol ha'am b'yad soynaf ulam b'rav yoyetz. But if there is an abundance of counsel, k'roiva ha-teshua, salvation is near. Okay, there's a Rashi, Pasuk Yidale, Be'ein tachpulos k'shatzar bo al Yisrael, Ve'einam noisnim lev lohovin lehis anois, the last says tshuva yipol arm. Rashi takes this pasuk a little bit more on the midrash approach, that the tachbulois means tshuva. Person Klalius will realizes that there's an ace tsara. The tachbula, the strategy is to do tshuva ma'asim tovim, to fast. And if they're not going to do that, then the whole nation can come crashing up or down. But if Usashua, Brev Yoyetz will come through counsel. Okay, there's a Gemara. There's he over here in the Divrei Chachamim. This sefer that I quote from very often, he connects a nice piece of Gemara. It's not really totally relevant to this pasuk, but the Gemara does quote a pasuk, the end of the pasuk. So I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara tells a story. The story was who gathered the Tova Ba'agmo de Samke. There was a Maisa Shahaya, person drowned. Allegedly he drowned. And the question was, can his wife remarry? Is his wife an Aguna? So we know the halacha is you do not need two witnesses. It's the only case in the halacha that you do not need two witnesses. It's sufficient if one witness comes and testifies that so and so has died, the wife can remarry. Now, however, there is a rule that he has to be positive that this person actually died. If the person drowned in waters which are called mayim she'ein lohem soif, there is no end. It's not contained. So then it's very possible that just because you saw him go down, maybe he came up on the other end. Maybe far away, very quickly, he was able to swim. He was able to miraculously come to the other side, and he survived. So the only time we can be certain that the person did not come up is if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lohem Saif. It's an enclosed area, it's a lake, it's a pond. It's a defined area, and the person went down and did not come up, then we can be certain the person did not live, the person died. So there's a Maishahaya, where a person he drowned in the place called Agma the Samke. Agma means the swap of Samke. Insive Rav Shila Lidibisu. Rav Shila told this person told his wife that she can remarry. Amale Rav Lishmuel. Rav and Shmuel were sitting in their Beis Medrash. I guess they went online to see the latest news, and they saw headlines in the news that Rav Shila, the Gadol Hadar, paskind that this man's wife can remarry. So Rav said to Shmuel, let's go to on our website and let's issue a shamta. Let's put Rav Shila in Cherim, because what he is doing is Shaloi Kedin. Why? Amalei Rav L'Shmuel Neshamtei. This Mamash Nagi Halacha L'Maisen. Every Maisen L'Chol Yom. Such stories. Where one Paisek paskins a Halacha, and everyone else jumps on him. They want to put him in Cherim. They want to ban him. Neshamtei Amalei. Listen, you can't just go. So obviously Rav was very, very hot-blooded. He was quick. His finger was on the trigger. What's the expression called? He had his finger on the trigger.
Trigger finger.
Yeah. He wanted right away, just to put him in shamta. So Shmuel said, not so fast. What are you going and putting him in cherem? Let's first speak to him. Let's ask him why he did this. Amalei nishlach lebereshe. Let's consult with him first. So Sholchulei, they spoke to him, when they asked him the question, Mayim sheyesh she'ein lohem soif, if a person drowns in a body of water that is enormous, it's ein lohem soif, ishtoi asura, oimot muteres, sholach lohu. So Rav Shila said, of course, halacha is ishtoi asura, of course, the wife is awesome. Oh, so the, then they asked him, let me ask, let's see, the Agma, the Samka, Mayim, Sheyesh, Lam, Saif, Mayim, Shein, Lam, Saif. This Agma, the Samka, where this incident happened, is it Mayim, Sheyesh, Lam, Saif, or Ilham, Saif? Shal, Chaluhu, Mayim, Shein, Lam, Saifu. So they said, that's the case. So you just contradicted your own decision. Omar, my time of it, Hachi. So he says, you're right, Mito to Ina. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Omar Savri Kavan the Kavu Vikaime Kamayim Sheyesh Lam Soif Damu, even though it's true that it's the body of water is broad, but the waters are very calm. They're calm waters, so I mistakenly gave it the status of Mayim Sheyesh Lohem Soif, which would allow the man's wife to remarry. But you're right, now that I think about it, you're right, it doesn't make a difference. Just because the waters are tranquil, they're calm, they're peaceful, the bottom line is, they're still called Mayim Sheyesh Lohem Soif. Maybe this man emerged on the other side, and the wife is Osir. V'loihi keva de'ika gali, since there are waves, occasionally, imu gali ashbil, the waves went and they brought him to a faraway place. So he retracted his psak halacha. And therefore, Rav and Shmuel did not need to put it in Shamta. And all of the collateral damage that would have come along with him being put in Shamta did not happen. There was no bezyonos, there was no chil Hashem. No one wanted, no one would decide, they're not going to be mashadich with his children because he was once put in chayrim. The whole ugly episode that would have been front and center in all the newspapers and all the blogs was avoided simply because of restraint. Because Shmuel said to Rav, don't hit the trigger. Don't touch the button. Let's first go and consult with him. Okay, so therefore, what do we need? How is that related to Mishlei? Kari Shmuel alei the Rav. Shmuel said about the Rav, lo yu'une le tzadik kolovein. Rav is a very great tzadik. Rav, it was a mazel, hashkocha protos. On that day, I wasn't supposed to be here. On that day when Rav was sitting in front of his computer reading the news, and Rav saw what Rav Shila did, I was supposed to be overseas at a conference at some Hakama Samatseva. I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to be here. Rav was supposed to be all alone, and it would have happened naturally. Rav would have immediately issued a Shamta, and it would have caused this whole Shach Levitaria, this whole Chad Gadya would have come about. If Hashkacha Pratis, I happened to be in the right place at the right time to prevent Rav from being nichshol, from getting into trouble. So Rav Hashem saved Rav, lo yu'une letzadeh kolovon. Shmuel called, Rav said about Shmuel, it's good for me that you were here, kare Rav alei de Shmuel, this pasuk here in Sefer Mishlei, u'sishua, salvation comes, beroiv yoyetz. Don't just make a decision on impulse. Before you do anything in life that's important, seek counsel, seek advice, talk to someone, go through the issue. Maybe the decision you're about to make is not the right decision. Beroiv u'sishua, the salvation that came to Rav, not having this ugly episode to stain his reputation and his legacy, came only because Shmuel was wise enough to first be a yoyetz, to go to Reb Shila and discuss the matter, see what he has to say. Maybe there is a misunderstanding and we can straighten things out. Okay. This is a Gemara that's coming up not so far from now in Yevamos, Taf Kuf Chaf Aleph, the very end of Masechta Yevamos. So it's a very powerful lesson. Pasuk Yidal, Be'ein Tachbulos Yipolam, that's one item. And when there is no strategy, a nation, a whole nation can be destroyed. Even in Rashi's beautiful medrash, that it means, it refers to the tachbula of tshuva and tainis and tefillah, ma'asim tovim, u'shua b'rov yoyetz, a person should never do something on impulse, always take counsel, an abundance of counsel, and that will bring a person salvation. A salvation, he doesn't even know, normally with tshuva you need a tzara. There's a tzara, and you need to get out of the tzara. Here it's even a greater salvation. The tzara did not even come. The tzara was prevented because it was Yerov Yoyetz. Okay, go to now Pasuk Tes Vav. Ra Yeroa ki orav zar. Now there are different ways to translate these two words. We'll translate it first. Ra means a rasha, an evil man, an evil doer. Yeroa means will be crushed, will be broken, will be destroyed. The evil man will be obliterated from the face of the earth. Why? Ki orav zar. Because he has guaranteed a stranger. But a person that hates evil. Sone here refers to a person that hates evil. It's used here in a good sense, in a good context. I'm sorry. A person that hates stretching out his hand, handshakes. So a person who does not want to. It's another word simply for an orev, a cosigner, a person that does not want to stretch out his hand and to be a guarantor. When you guarantee, you enter into a business transaction, you shake someone's hand. It's a way of saying, yes, I commit, but Teach, he will be faithful, he will not be destroyed, he will not be the subject of Yeroah. He will survive. Now, what does this mean? It simply means that don't enter into bad business practices. Don't make poor investments. Don't go and be willing to guarantee to guarantee loans and transactions that are very shaky. We have great risk. Now the person says, "You just sign the dotted line and guarantee that you will reimburse the lender for the capital in case the business goes sour, and you don't have money to pay. You guarantee. Let's say I make $100,000. We're entering into a business venture. The lender is going to give us $100,000 for me to start up a business, and you, my friend Shimon, you're going to sign the dotted line that in the event I default on the loan, you will pay the $100,000 on my behalf." And Shimon doesn't have in the bank one penny, and no one knows that. And he lies, and then what happens? The business goes sour. And when the business goes sour, they go to Shimon to pay. And Shimon, where is the money you guaranteed? I really was just joking. I didn't really have the money. And that begins, that's the beginning of the end. And that we all, unfortunately, I think we hear in the news stories like this, where people, you lie in order to, a couple of years ago, the whole economy went down the drain because of all the mortgages were all based on false guarantees. False guarantees. You have a job? Really? How are you going to pay the mortgage? Well, I make $100,000. Oh, really? Who says so? I say so. Okay, I believe you. Sign the dotted line. And the whole country did this, and the banks had no safeguards, and that was history. And that brought about a depression, a recession / depression. That brought about the end, because people were in the matzav of, they were ki orav zar. They guaranteed strangers. They guaranteed things which did not exist. Things that were not sound, economic. They were not secure. And because of that, when the time comes, you're held accountable. And Yeroa, this individual is crushed, and that crushing can have a boomerang effect, and many people can come down. But the Sonei HaSoikim, but the people who hate guaranteeing, extending their hand to guaranteeing, Tarkei means you put your hand into the hand of someone else. You hate guaranteeing things that are not sound. Beiteach, they will be secure. They will not suffer at the end. Let's see. Pasuk Tezvav, Ra Yeroa. The word Yero means Yeshaver. The Yisraelite states will be shattered and broken apart. Allah Shehoyah Ori Bavur, because this person was an Ori, was a cosigner. Bavur Ish Zar, for a stranger, a person that does not have money to pay. Asher Lo Yeduhu, he does not aware imhu neman, he is not neman. Aval, that's why he is crushed. Aval, the Pontus Pasuk concludes, Hasone Liskoya Kapov. Here he is in the word Kapov. Liskoya is short for handshake. Someone who hates to shake his hand, be arvos, as a guarantor, Mikol, v'chol, from anything. I don't want to be guaranteed anything that I'm not 100% sure about. That I'm not 100% positive that is a good investment. Boteachu m'shvir u'tzisa, he is secure from shvir, from being broken and crushed. Rashi pasik tes vav ra yeroa harasha. Ra is a code for an evil man, a rasha. Yisroitzetz will be crushed. Why? Asha orav libo lavoidas gilul, because he has guaranteed his heart. He has given over his heart to worship idols. So obviously, Rashi is not learning the pasuk lefi pshutoi. Rashi is learning the pasuk more and more as a metaphor for a rasha who is orav libo ki orav zar. What is zar? Avodah Zara. There's nothing that's more that better fits the description of Zara than Avodah Zara. Orav, he guaranteed his life to the Avodah Zara. He mingled, or he gave himself over. So he is in trouble. But v'soneya taikim kaf la soisra. Those someone who hates, those who extend their hand to do evil. V'leches bat sasam. Those who hate extending their hand to do evil, you're not a partner with people who do averus. You don't shake their hand. I once got into a lot of trouble for not shaking someone's hand. So I can tell you, when someone wants them to shake your hand, you shake your hand. Right? So if you don't shake the person's hand, it means I'm not your partner. I'm not your partner. So if the person is a Rasha, that's right. You don't shake the person's hand. If the person is your best friend, then you better shake his hand. So here Rashi says, I would say Darshu, this over here refers to a guarantee of money, a cosigner, and that's the way we learn Pshat in the Mitsudas. Okay, now there are a few short midrashim. Okay, one rush is according to the Medrash, this is not inside the Medrash, the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. It's interesting, a lot of here. My mom from Masechta Yevamos lately. We had it, I think, last week also. And a lot of them coming up now as well. Ra Yeroa, let's take a step back. We translate Ra as a reference to a Rasha. Yeroa means to be crushed. The Rasha is crushed. Ki Arav Zar. According to the Gemara Yevamos, Ra Yeroa means Roho Achara. It means a double dosage of evil. It's not ra, it's not a noun. We're not describing a rasha. Ra yeroa, an abundance of tsaros, an abundance of hardship and evil will come upon a person who is orav zar. This is the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. Gemara Masechta Yevamos talks about the tkufa and Klal Yisrael when but they didn't accept gerim, they were not sincere. It's a very big thing today. Bati dinim, I mean, a good best. They're very, very tough. They're very tough to make sure that the ger is sincere. And adraba, the haftemes ager. There's nothing greater than taking a ger, but you have to make sure the ger is sincere. So, referring to people that were not sincere, and these people, this is the czar, the people that were strangers, they were not mekabel the mitzvos, and they were accepted into Klal Yisrael. And this caused for Klal Yisrael an enormous problem, because their geiris was not 100%. They intermarried with Klal Yisrael, and the male, the children, were not Jewish, because it wasn't the kosher geiris. So it says that concerning such batei dinim, who get involved in these matters, ra yeroa, will be severely punished. Yavoi is the Gemara Yevamos. Ma roho achara tovo lemakabel gerim, that a makabel gerim which are not sincere. And that's what the pasuk here means. Okay. Then the pasuk concludes and v'sonei psyche boteach. Now here they have a different interpretation for the word tokea. Tokea means a person that is also insincere, that's part of the connection to the type of game that we are referring to in the beginning of the pasuk. Tokea means the person I will learn, but I will not do. I will not practice what I preach. I will not practice what I learn. Now, how does that mean tokea? It means a person who's tokeya atzmo l'dvar halacha. Now, I'm not exactly sure how we translate it in this context, but it means to thrust away, it seems. Tokeya means to thrust. But here it means to thrust yourself away in a negative form, to remove yourself from dvar halacha. You know something is correct, you choose not to do it. A person who hates, a bezdin, that is a soneya, has a hatred for toikim, people that are fakers, people that learn halacha, but are tokeya. And this context means to distance themselves from practicing what they've learned, boteach. Those people are the opposite end of the spectrum of the ra yeroa. They will be boteach. Okay, let's go to the next. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes zayin. Eisha schein. A woman of grace, tismach kavod, upholds honor, v'aritzim yismachu esher, and the mighty uphold wealth. And what does that mean? It's in the pasuk tezayin, esha schein isha hanaisei schein v'avur kishroin maaser. A woman that has favor in the eyes of man because of her good deeds. A woman that's known to be a hostess. She provides for other people's needs. Darko lismach el she supports her dignity. What does that mean? She does not depart from her good reputation, from her good deeds. She supports her reputation and the honor that she receives by doing even more. Once a person is merited to have a good reputation, there's nothing you want to do nothing worse than you can possibly do to ruin it. You worked so hard for a good reputation, there's nothing worse than ruining that reputation. And that's what it says over here. This woman who's an Eisha Schein, she has earned the reputation of being a gracious host, tismach kavod will ensure that she upholds, she supports the honor that she has earned. How will she uphold that honor? By continuing to do what she does. Whatever you're doing, stay the course. On the other hand, v'aritzim, bale koyach, rav, people who are very mighty, darka masoyes semuchos el ha'isher lebal yia ibud mehem. So similar, this means that a person that's very wealthy over here, according to the Mitzvah, the word aritzim is not to be interpreted negatively. The word aritzim is in the positive sense or in a parva sense. A person who's wealthy, you don't want to lose your wealth. A person that has a successful business, you make sure the business continues to thrive. You do everything in your power al derech hatev to make sure that the business succeeds. An aritz, a successful rich man, he continues to uphold the wealth. Now this pasuk really will lead into the next pasuk, which means that a person, let's just read the next pasuk for one moment. Goymel nafsho ish chased v'oicher she'eroi achzari. Really, okay, well, just the beginning of the next pasuk means that a person that is a good person, he also continues, let's leave it out. Let's focus on this interpretation. We'll leave it as an independent thought, an independent idea. Now, the other Mefarshim learned the word aritzim to mean a rasha, right, a tyrant. You have that very often in Yeshaya,
in davening.
So sometimes aritz is a... aritzim, all of the evildoers, all of the tyrants. So sometimes the word aritzim is used in a negative sense, sometimes in a positive sense. So here you can learn aritzim, yisprosha means the people who have tyrants, their wealth has come through gezela, through theft. They will continue to rob the masses. Someone who is a dictator, how does the dictator acquire wealth? By stealing from his people. He will never give up his power. He will never relinquish power because that would mean he would lose his wealth. The aritzim yismosh, they'll do everything in their power to contain, to uphold their wealth through evil and illegal means. Rashi, pasik tes zayin, tisme chavod. Here Rashi again is going along the mahalach of drush, of agada. Tismach kavod, kineses Yisrael, tikrav tamil l'chvoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sayrasa. Klal Yisrael can call the Eishes Chein. Okay, there are so many different Mevarech Chazal which tell us that Klal Yisrael is called the wife of Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal. Hashem is the Chasan, Klal Yisrael is the Kala. Matan Torah was the wedding. Many of the Mevarech that we do by Chasna all comes from Matan Torah Har Sinai. Klal Yisrael here is the Eish Eschein, the graceful wife of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tismach Kavod, Rashi, Kineses Yisrael, the Eish Eschein, Tikrav Tamid, they come close to Chvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to us, they continuously come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to serve Him by learning His Torah. The Aritzim Yismuchu Esher, the tyrants of the world, Rashi clearly is learning the parts of Aritzim in the negative sense, not like the Mitzudos. B'nei Edoim, Makrivim Eitzel Genevois, they go near, Miskarvim Eitzel Genevois, Mamon V'Gezel. The Aritzim Edoim, they are continuously involved in robbing humanity.
They're always after the money.
But more than after the money, in an illegal way. They're exploiting the poor and the weak. That's what it says. They are eating.
Meaning Klal Yisrael.
Doesn't say it's the whole world, doesn't that say Klal Yisrael? The whole world.
No, but Rashi is presenting a contrast. Okay, Israel right. First, and then Edom.
Okay.
It's the other side of the coin.
Okay, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Goimel nafsho ish chosed v'oicher she'ero achzori. Now you have to read these words backwards. Ish chosed, a gracious person, a person of them that bestows kindness to others, really what is he doing? He's goimel nafsho. He's doing good. He's doing chasadim to his own neshama. You'll get a person, if you're good to someone else, it will ultimately come back to you. Shlach mayim al panei. Shlach lach mal panei mayim ki b'roiv yamim tim sa'enu. Send your bread upon the waters because ultimately it will come back to you. Whatever you give, you'll ultimately get back. So it's exactly how to do. Ish chesed, read the words backwards. A person who's kind to other people, he's really being kind to himself. He's goimel nafsho, he's being kind to his own neshama. In contrast to that, read the words backwards. Achzori, a cruel person who refuses to give someone a penny, who is he really being cruel to? Oicher she'era. He's truly being cruel to his own flesh. If you're cruel to someone else, it will boomerang upon you, and you'll be end up you're causing harm to your own self. So when you read these expressions backwards, it makes it a lot easier to translate these words. And that's exactly what Rashi and the Mitzudos does. And Pasuk Yitzayin, Goymel Nafsho. So look at it around Mitzudos. Misha Goymel Toiv. A person that's Goymel Toiv, Misha Goymel Toiv Lenafsho. Hamisave Lo Seis Lo De Machsoira Hahechrechi. Let's do the Rashi because that's what I mentioned. Rashi pasuk yidzayin. Goimel nafshei. Goimel. Oh, it's also a different interpretation. I know where I'm getting this from. I'm getting all confused. Okay. Let's do the mitzvahs. Let's then go back to the mitzvahs one thing at a time. Goimel nafsho. Rashi here learns an idea. This really comes from a Gemara. It's a Gemara and it's a Medrash. It refers over here to a person as an obligation, a person to take care of his health. And it's one of the major themes that is discussed in reference to this pasuk. A person should be a goimel nafsho. Nafsho here means your life force. Your life force means your health. Go to a doctor, go eat well, and make sure you you take showers and you're healthy. Me shegoimel toiv lenafshay hamisav. A person once lost his slav. The mitzvah says lost day machsoira hahechrechi lachayosa, to give it life ulahamida b'matzav habrius, and to make sure that it is in a state of health. Hu bevadai ish chosid. He is certainly a pious person. Ki kasher yachmol al nafshay. The same way a person has an appreciation for his own neshama, for his own health, this is an insight into his outlook on life. Kein yachmal al nefesh hazulas, he will also have compassion for the health and the well-being of someone else. Av lo icher b'osar atzmai, but a person that does not take care of his own health, a person that lives a dangerous lifestyle, He starves himself because he's stingy. He doesn't want to spend a few dollars to buy a good meal, to buy his healthy food. Don't expect him to give you a donation for a worthy cause. If he's not even willing to take care of his own self, he's not going to be willing to support someone else. So that's how Rashi Mitzvah Shana Pasik. If you want to know insight into who is going to be a good candidate to give a large donation, look at the people who know how to take care of themselves. They are people that have a sensitivity to other people generally. They'll be duchasadda. So that was, you go knock on the house, you go up and down the streets, flappish, and you look at all the fancy houses, it's likely those are the people that are going to give you the big donations. But if you go to the houses that have looked very shabby, so it could very well be those people have stashed away in their bank accounts billions of dollars, but if they're not going to spend it on themselves, they're certainly not going to spend it on you. Is that really true? No, obviously not. But I guess there is some truth to it. That's what this pasuk here says. That's what it seems to say, at least when it comes to health. Okay, Rashi says something a little bit different. Rashi says, Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says, nafshay does not refer to yourself. And it's a pella for Rashi to say that. I guess only because of the context. Since the end of the pasuk says she'eroi, and she'eroi means your own flesh, so in contrast, we have no choice but to say that the word nafshay in the beginning of the pasuk refers to your relatives, someone else. So a person who is goymel nafshay, who is good to his relatives, to his brother, his sister, his cousins, uncles, aunts, he is an ish chosed. But an oicher, She'eroi achzari, Rashi, ish chosed, ish shuhu chosed, ve'oicher she'eroi achzari, ve'achzari, someone who's cruel, who oicher es krevav is also cruel to his, so they both mean, I'm making a mistake, they both mean relatives. She'eroi means a relative, and nafshay here in the pasuk also means a relative. You have the rule of, umibesorcha al tisalem. Charity starts at home. Okay, that's a famous principle, and that's rooted in Chazal, the Motul Mamar Chazal. Charity starts at home, and that's exactly what it says over here. If you want to be called an Ish Chassid, you want to be called a pious person, you want to have a reputation in the newspapers as being a person that does chesed to other people, charity starts, let's go look how kind you are to your very own relatives, to your brothers and sisters, and close relatives who are struggling to survive. Even though you will say, oh, they could help themselves, there's a very important Chazal which people overlook, Pasuk in the Torah, Ki lo yechtal evyoin mi kerev aretz. People are always trying to come up with a system, communism, socialism, people, all these different think tanks and all different organizations. We're going to have a solution to solve world poverty. We're going to have a solution to solve poverty in our own community. We're going to have a solution for every problem. There's going to be a solution and no one's going to have to suffer. Absolutely, go for it. But you always have to have a fallback for people that just fall through the cracks. And you can't say this, that there's no excuse for someone to fall through the cracks, because the Torah lays out the law. People overlook this all the time. Ki lo yechtal evyoin mikerev aretz. There will always be people who are begeder in evyon. Evyon doesn't just mean poor in money, it means poor in anything that's lacking. And evyon is a person that's lacking something which everyone else has. Whether it refers to parnas, whether it refers to health, whether it refers to you name it. There's always going to be people that fall through the cracks, and therefore there's always going to be a need for chesed, for someone to come in and pick them off the streets. Lift them off the streets. And many times that those people can be from your own family. And here it says charity starts at home, according to Rashi. A person, if you want to be called nish chosed, a chosed, you must be a goymel nafsho, be kind to your own relatives. If you want to be an achzari, a cruel person, you want a reputation, then you know where cruelty starts? It starts with your own family. You give them billions of dollars.
They'll talk the most about you.
What?
They'll talk the most again.
No, they won't, not necessarily. He writes in the art scroll in one of the footnotes about the Kapitchin Sarev. The Kapitchin Sarev used to raise, he gave away every penny he had. He probably, I don't think he wanted to sleep with a penny. Everything he had, he gave away. But he used to raise a lot of money for poor people. So he once went to a very big gevir, and he came in to the gevir, he waited in the office, they took him in, and he met with the Gevir and he said, I have Nitzrach, he doesn't have this, and he softened up this very wealthy person to give a lot of money, to pledge. And he wrote out the check, okay, I'm running out of here. Hoin Rav, who should I make the check out to? And he said to him, your brother. It's a scary story. So this doesn't say the end of the story. But Rabbi Ginsberg, even not a chasna. So he says over here, that's exactly what it means here. This pasuk, this is the makar for this idea. Okay, now there are two bir midrashim. The midrashim use this pasuk in reference to Rabbeinu Hakadosh. Or not Rabbeinu Hakadosh. I made a mistake. Hillel Hazaken. Hillel Hazaken was once escorted by his talmidim, and he told them, "I'm going to do a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? I'm going to the merchatz, to the bathhouse, to take a shower, okay, or to care for my body." And he told them, and he quoted them this pasuk. He says, the Talmidim said, what's the mitzvah? Why is going to a merchatz a mitzvah? The chima mitzvah, so what mitzvah is this? So he said to them, I'll give you a mashal. The mashal is, parables, proverbs. The mashal is that the king, the Roman emperor, I don't know if he lived in the Romans, Hilazakain, but he says that the kings have statues of themselves all over the country. You ever watch ancient Iraq? See all the statues of Saddam? We all remember that?
Stalin.
All over the place, there are statues. And then there are people who have full-time parnassus to clean, to hose down the statues. They go into the streets, and every street corner there's a statue, and they take a hose, they take a shmata, and they wash it, they scrub it clean. And these people, not only is it their parnasa, they're choshva people. These people, when it comes to a state affair, a state dinner, they sit at the head table. These people. So he said, Hillel Zagin says, that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? A human being is B'Tselem Elokim. A human being is in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki B'Tselem Elokim Baro Isam. And therefore, I am a statue, Kav Yachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if I will go and wash, clean, bathe my body, I will also merit a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will sit at the head table at Hashem's banquet. A very simple mashal to tell the people, that's why you should always look your best. Look your best, smell your best, present yourself the best you can possibly be. It's a kafir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a mitzvah. Okay, another mitzvah he gives is, another mashal that Hillel HaZaken gave in reference to this pasuk, Goymel Nafsha Ish Chassid, he said that the neshama is a guest in the body of a person. And just like we all know that there's a mitzvah, a very great mitzvah, Chnosas Orchim. We learned from Avraham Avinu, Chesed, you take a poor person into your house and you feed him and you sustain him. So too, the neshama is a guest in the body of man. Man's body comes from the earth. The neshama belongs in Shamayim. The neshama is here in this world as a guest. If you take care of your neshama, you're doing a mitzvah of gemilas chasad. And this fits perfectly into the pasuk. Unbelievable. It says, goymil nafsho. If you bestow kindness upon your own neshama, you take care of your health, you are an ish chaset. You're doing a mitzvah. The average person would say, I'm not doing a mitzvah. It's for selfish reasons. I'm taking care of myself to survive. This is chesed. Chesed is charity. I have no obligation to do so. And I'm giving you a handout. No, you have to look at yourself. That even when you take care of your own body, you're doing gamilas chasam because your neshama is a guest in your own body. That's how he ties it here into this pasuk. Okay, and then he has another. Okay, let's deal with that. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. There is one other medrash I left out. This is a Gemara Masechta Tainis. I'll read the whole Gemara. Amar Shmuel is a very nice Gemara. Amar Shmuel Kol Hayoshev the tainis nikra chayte. Anyone that fasts for no reason whatsoever is a sinner. Gesundheit. You're denying yourself pleasure in this world. Rabbi Elazar imer nikra kadosh. Just the opposite. You're a holy person. If you're yoshev v'tainis, you're a holy person. The Gemara says, "Amar me." The Gemara is really. Amar v'lozah achi. Amar v'lozah liolam yom natzmo kiilu kadosh shor b'sochme. Rabbi Elazar himself says that basically you should take care of your health and you should not fast. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Like kashya. There are different types of people. Some people are able to fast. Some people are able to fast without causing their body harm. And some people are not. If you're from those people who are very delicate, like we are in this generation, we're very delicate people, so then it's not advisable to fast too much. But if you're a person who is a very strong, healthy person, you're fasting l'shem shemaim in order to discipline yourself, adraba, that is in maila. And then the Rish Lakish Amar, now comes the third opinion, nikra chosid. You're called a chosid. You're a pious person. So we have three opinions. A person that fasts, either he is a chayte. Number two, he is a kodosh, a holy person. Where Shlokesh says he is a chosid, a pious person. Different types of individuals. And where Shlokesh brings support for his opinion, you call the chosid from this very pasuk, goymel nafshay ish chosid. Now you list the question, how does the word goymel refer to a person who is fasting? So I believe it means weaning. Vayas mishre b'yom hi gomel es yitzchok. Gigomel means the day he made Avraham, made a party, the day that he weaned Yitzchak. Yitzchak was 2 years old. What does it mean to wean? To separate the child from his mother. The child no longer will nurse from the mother. The child is on his own. So Goymel in that context means you're no longer being sustained from your mother. You're on your own. It's a removal of sustenance. So here in this pasuk, a very interesting translation of how he interprets the pasuk, a person who is a Goymel Nafsho, you're yoyshev betainis, because you're removing yourself from a source of sustenance. Ish chosid. Such a person is a pious man. This person earns great merit in the next world. Okay, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara over here is three mehalchim in this in fasting, and here we have a support, and we have also Derech Agav derived a new translation for the word goymel. Pasuk Yud Ches. Rasha Oiseh Pulash Shaker. A Rasha, he does pu'ulois, deeds. What's going on over here? Rasha oise pulas shaker, v'zoreya tzedaka secher emes. A very unusual word, secher. What would you write if you were writing this pasuk? Socher. Socher means reward. The word over here is translated Sechar Emes. Here it's a very unusual form of the word of Sechar Emes, which, because of the unusual vowels, some want to say it does not mean reward, it means something else in a moment. But let's proceed. The Mitzvah is Pasuk Yud Ches. Pula Sheker, what's Lemar? Pu'ulasai Mishakeres Bo V'lo Tishar Bikiyuma. His Pu'ula, his success, his deeds will lie to him. He works, he thinks that he's going to bring home parnasa, being that his parnasa has been derived, has come through a source of sheker, the money will be a lie, will lie to him. It will not remain in his possession. It will not remain. So Rashi does pula sheker, he does a deed of sheker, falsehood, meaning it's not going to survive. But Vizareya, next words of Vizareya, Hazareya Tzedakah, person that seeds Tzedakah, Sechorei Bab Emes, his reward is everlasting, is Emes. Al Karchach, Imkein Pula Sahi Gemul, Imkein Pula Sahi Gemul Hatzdakah, Imkein Pula Sahi Gemul Hatzdakah, Hine ba umiskaim. I'm not exactly sure how to translate the words literally, but it basically means that due to the fact that his pula is done with MS, the reward that he receives will be everlasting. Okay, so this is according to Mitzudas pasuk yudches in Rashi. Rashi says Rasha oisa pulas sheker. Pulas is shal Rasha mishaker eslok kisaver shemiskayim lo. He thinks that it's going to be in a sense has the chas of Yaakov Avraham, but the end is all of his success is lost. V'zareya tzedaka secher emes v'hazareya tzedaka he pula shal emes. This a pula, this an action of emes. Ki bevadai betuach chushi kabel pola b'soif, he will receive reward at the end. What is the word over here? Secher. Okay, this is an old French word, I do not know what this means. Ka'adam. Also, here Rashi is telling us over here that do not translate the word secher as Rashi is telling us, do another translation. If it really meant reward, it would have said sochar. It would have said sechar. The fact that it says secher, secher means to enclose. Secher means to make a boundary. Like we have a stream of water to a dam.
Yeah,
you dam the water.
In fact, in Hebrew, what's
is a dam. So that's what it means over here. Ka'adam ha-soicher, a person dams amas hamayim. K'dei lilkoi dogim in order to collect fish. U'batuach sheyim sesham dogim, he's going to find dogim harbei. V'doim aloi kol osei secher agmei nefesh, all those people who dam, osei secher agmei nefesh, the people that prevent people from suffering. They stop up the agme nefesh, the sorrow of the soul. So here it means that he will definitely, according to Rashi, the pasuk means that the zareya tzedakah secher, he will gather in emes, because when you dam, you create a barrier that serves as a dam. You're basically guaranteeing yourself everything inside this area is going to be my reward, and it's guaranteed. It's emes. It's guaranteed to be. So basically, the word secher here does mean reward, but there's obviously a relation. Every time you have a word that has the same letters and you have a different pronunciation, obviously there's a relationship. Secher means reward, and in this context it's a dam, because when it is limited, when it is confined, that is where you can actually see. When it's contained, reward is found in a contained area. That's seemingly how Rashi interprets the pasuk. Okay, the first one explained a couple of ideas. Number one, a Rasha only does something in this world when he has instant gratification. A Rasha will not make investments in the next world. That's why it says here, pu'ula shaker. It's a pu'ula. If I will do this, what do I get out of it? I'm only willing to give you money if I will get something in return. I'm only willing to do an action. I'm only willing to do something if I will derive immediate gratification. The pasuk is a person that lives with that attitude, whose everything has to be a reward, has to come in immediate satisfaction, a pula. This is shoker. Such a thing is short-lived. However, the real benefits of life are those that are investments. Zuria. When you plant, there is no immediate satisfaction. There's no immediate gratification. The seed has to first rot, and it has to take root, it has to grow. It takes a very long time until the seed brings profit. A tzaddik, tzedakah, is begeder zariah. I give away my money now, I have nothing from this money at this moment in time, but it's like I'm planting a seed in the ground. And who knows, years later, 10 years later, 5 years later, the seed you plant in the ground will sprout into enormous blessings. It's an amazing, amazing thing. You never, never know. You never know. You give someone $18, you give someone $10, you're planting a teeny little seed. You come back 10 years later, you know what you have over there? Always sits in the backyard, these little weeds, these teeny little weeds in the backyard. You don't pluck these weeds out, you come back 5 years later, you have a massive tree. And it comes sukkahs, you can't sit in the sukkah. You call someone to cut down the tree, they'll want $5,000 to go cut down the tree. Plus they want all the legal issues of whose tree is it, and this and that. All you had to do 5 years ago is just pull it out of the ground. You wouldn't have this problem. A little teeny seed, who knows what you can do? You give someone $1. Someone comes to collect, you give them $1. Give them $5. You give $18. These things are begeder zoreya tzedakah. This is secher emes. It's guaranteed that the reward will come. Okay, now what is the medrash? The medrash contrasts these part of the pasuk between the beginning of the pasuk and the pasuk to Nimrod and Avram Avinu. Nimrod was the one who's Pu'ula Shaker. Everything that he did was he created idols. Nimrod manufactured idols. It was a Pu'ula of Shaker. He made idols, a pu'ula, an action that was all sheker. Avram Avinu was a person who was Zoreya Emes. He went and he taught people HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave them tzedakah. Here, in fact, this is the famous Tanchuma, it's a mamsh on this pasuk. The famous Tanchuma that we all know, Avram Avinu, he would invite people into this home and they would ask him, how much does it cost? How much are you charging to come into your Eshel? Eshel Avram. How much? Free of charge. Come free. Everyone came in for free. Avram served them the best food, the best drink, the best accommodations. And then after a period of time, the guests would leave. And Avram would present the bill. And they would say, what do you mean a bill? You said it's free. Yeah, it's free, provided that you give shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to be makir, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything comes from, then it's taka free. But if you don't want to be makir, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, then you have to pay full price. This was his technique, and this medrash is where Nechnam is attached specifically to this pasuk. This pasuk is the Zoreat Stoka Secher Emes, and that's why Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Sechorcha Harbe Maot. Altira Avram. Avram said, "Vanochi holy chadiri." The message basically, message that Hashem said, "Do not worry. From sorry, you're going to have a child. Sechorcha harbe maod. Here it is. Secher emes. Avram, who was the one who was zereat tzedakah, he was zereat tzedakah in this world. He taught the world." He indeed had this reward. What do we say every day? What do we say in Shmona Esrei? We say in the Shmona Esrei, the saying, "Sochar toif l'chol abotchem b'shimcha be'emes." Give reward to those people who rely on your name. Why dafka b'shim? Why do they get sochar? Because sech. What's the midah k'neged midah? Because every real reward is secher emes. That's what it says here, secher emes. And those that are boitchem b'shimcha be'emes are deserving of sochar toif. The sochar toif here is another way of describing the secher emes.
You also say, Zoreya
tzedakos. Zoreya matzmiach kel in lokel brechon animos yitenu. Zoreya tzedakos matzmiach yishuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoreya tzedakos. And which ultimately leads to Matzmich Yeshuos. Now, there's another Hasidic translation of this pasuk. The pasuk is Rosh Oisa Pulat Shaker Vizoreya Tzedakar Secher. What is the Secher? The Secher is Emes. Hashem, a person who plows Tzedakah, the reward that you get in this world is Emes. What is Emes? Emes is a very broad term. It means Torah. Titan Emes Liakov, Ches Liavram. He merits to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, and he himself is a Talmud Chacham. Emes is a code for Torah. More than just Torah, Emes is something that's Emed Esloat. Emes, V'yatzev, Nacham Lekayam. Emes means there's no greater bracha in this world than Emes. Emes means it's going to be around forever. The first letter, the middle letter, the last letter of the Aleph Beis spell Emes. Emes is Kayim Lo'ad, means that the reward you're going to receive is a reward that will endure forever. The Secher is Emes. It's not just that your reward is true. Emes is the nature of the reward. Alright, do we do the Rashi? Let's see the Rashi. Rashi is a pulah sheker, pulah shal Rashi and the sheker. We did the Rashi. Okay, we did everything. Okay, so we'll stop over here.